Hello and welcome to my dental hygiene school experience. My name is Dax Ska, and each episode I'm going to share my own experience of dental hygiene school. The highs, the lows, the funny, and the real. Thank you for joining me on my journey, and here's another episode right now. What's up, dental nerds? Welcome to my dental hygiene school experience. I am Dax Ska, dental assistant and future guy dentist. This podcast shares my experience of what it's like being in dental hygiene school. Now, if you've been listening to my podcast, you may have noticed I may have missed a week or two. Actually, it's probably been more like 40. But anyway, I'll tell you what happened. I got into second semester and things got busy. Fast. Second semester is very different from first semester in a few ways. The fact that I was too busy to do the podcast is very fitting for being in dental hygiene school, at least in my opinion. I fell 2 weeks behind, but I thought, oh, I'll get to it, you know. Then I was 3 weeks behind, and I thought, you know, maybe I'll just catch up in like one episode, you know, just summarize everything. And, you know, at the time, it seemed like I didn't have a whole lot of listeners, and so it got to the point where I was just going to give up the podcast. Too many weeks had gone by, I wasn't willing to go back and summarize all that. Well, fast forward to about a month ago, I got a message from someone asking if there are going to be more episodes coming, and I was just like, nah, school got too busy, you know, sorry. About a week later, I got a comment on an Instagram post, and I believe it said something to the effect of, sir, we're going to need more episodes. So I was quite surprised to hear that another person was interested. Then I got a DM from another person about the podcast. So, message received. I'm picking up the podcast once again. I want to thank Justin, Tammy, and Beatrice for your encouragement. This is for you guys. Let's get into today's episode. Now, those of you that have been listening to the podcast may remember that I interviewed Audrey the Ninja. Audrey is a former coworker who got into hygiene school about the same time as I did. I interviewed her before I even started classes. And, well, guess what? It's been about a year, and Audrey is back to update us on her journey to becoming an RDH. So, in terms of future episodes, I will catch you up on what happened on semesters 2, 3, and beyond. But, you know, let's just start with interviewing Audrey the Ninja. Here we go. Audrey?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing? I can hear you, yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Awesome. So you got the questions? Is that right? Good.
Yes. Okay. My answers all typed out.
Oh, awesome. Nice. So you're all prepared. I like literally spent like 5 minutes making up the questions and I'm like, that's probably good. We'll see where it goes. So the fact that you're like that, like prepared, I'm like, oh, wow. Like, wow. That puts me to shame. All right. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, let me just get everything opened up.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Ready when you are.
Okay. So I'll do like a countdown and then we'll start.
Okay.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Hi, Audrey. Welcome back.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good. So, for those of you who were listening to the podcast before, probably about a year ago, I'd say I interviewed Audrey the Ninja, and let's see how you're doing after your first year. Are you completed your first year, or are you like near the end of your first year?
I just started my second year.
So oh, okay.
I'm done with the first. Yep.
Awesome. So tell me how school is going.
I'm not going to lie to you, it's tough, but it's certainly not impossible. In all honesty, I love school and I love to learn, especially like the science-based courses. And when I can put the knowledge that I'm learning to use in clinic. But I have discovered that I'm not a huge fan of taking tests.
Oh, yeah. I can relate to that.
Uh-huh. But other than that, it's going really well, and I really enjoyed my first year, and I'm just happy to be halfway through and I feel like I can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
That's a good feeling, isn't it? So, in all your classes that you've taken in the first year, what one was the hardest?
Well, there were two in this
Okay.
last quarter that were the toughest for me, but they were for different reasons.
Okay.
The first one was a local anesthesia. I had mentioned in our first interview that I was afraid of being someone's first patient, and
Right.
inevitably I did become someone's first patient, and someone became my first patient. I was really confident. I felt confident in my knowledge of, like, where the landmarks are and how much to deposit, that kind of stuff. But I was just, I guess I didn't have the same confidence in others. And so receiving anesthetic was kind of scary. There was only one time where I cried. But
Oh,
other than that, I kept myself composed.
good.
And there was no negative side effects, no hematomas, no nothing.
Oh,
So
good.
I'm happy about that.
I was actually a board patient, so one of our so we have 6 semesters, and so our final semester, wait, were they? I don't know. Doesn't matter. But they were doing their board exams for local anesthesia, the clinical portion of it. And yeah, and so I was like nervous, but I signed up to do it because I'm trying to get over my fear of needles. And so we had two practice sessions and then the actual board exam. So the first time it was like a little scary. I didn't know what to expect, and it kind of like hurt a little bit, but she was nervous too. And then the second time I was like, oh, that was great, you know? And yeah, so like it a lot more comfortable than the first time. So I'm like, okay, just do it just like that when we do the board exam. So yeah, and she did great. You haven't done I guess you're not doing the board exams yet, are you, for that one?
No, but I was also someone's board patient, and there was also some practice sessions. And on that first practice session, I got kind of scared because she was doing the IA injection,
Oh.
and it struck the nerve, so I felt like this shock all
Oh.
across, and I was like, oh my goodness, I don't ever want to experience that ever again. But it only happens on the right side, and it happened multiple times where I just have to tell the person they have to go like 1 millimeter above the site where they initially injected. So
Okay.
I'm glad I learned that about myself.
So when you were a board patient, did they have GoPros on the hygienist and on the and then the board examiner have one on like a selfie stick?
Oh, no, it was just
They didn't.
No, it was just
Oh.
the two examiners there, me,
That's
patient,
interesting.
and the person taking the exam.
Yeah, so the way it happened for me then is that so they do like the minimum penetration just to make sure they have the right initial landmark. And so they're like, okay, hold it there. And then they take the GoPro that's on the selfie stick and they like basically put it in my mouth almost. And I'm like sitting there like, this is really awkward. And then so every step they do something. But one thing I was actually surprised about the board examiners is that they're super friendly. Like they understand like what we're, well, as the students, what they're going through is very stressful. And so they're like, you know, trying to break the tension a little bit by, you know, some light humor. And that kind of made it like in my mind like a little more, or I guess a little less scary when I eventually do it. I'm like, oh, like they're humans, they understand what we're going through. So yeah.
For sure.
Cool.
The going back to that initial question though,
Oh yeah.
the other class that was really tough for me was pharmacology.
Yes.
And the reason for it is that I felt like I just had to reteach myself everything from 10 weeks and 2 weeks before the final. And I just know that it's a really big part of our board exam. And so I just thought it was really important for me to really understand the information. So that was the other class that was really tough.
Yeah, and I can completely relate to that. I found that the classes that I did well with, it had something related directly to the body, like something you can see. So like I had a periodontics, and so with that, like I can see the gingivitis. I can, on the X-ray, I can see the periodontitis, you know. But with pharmacology, it's like, well, it gets processed through the liver and you know all this stuff, and then there's the indications, the contraindications, and to me, this is just pieces of information floating in the air, and I have no way to connect them to anything. So that was my challenge with it.
Yeah, I understand that. It is hard when it's just like something theoretical and you can't really apply it to anything yet.
Exactly.
So,
And it's
yeah.
not like I have previous information. Like before that, I knew ibuprofen, acetaminophen, you know, like very basic stuff. So, and then come to find out when you take pharmacology with ibuprofen, because it's NSAID, there's a lot of reasons why you wouldn't want to take it. So that just, you know, threw my world over.
It really made me think about like my work experience and like the patients that I dealt with before, and oh, maybe we shouldn't have prescribed them ibuprofen if they had
Oh, I
so-and-so
know.
problem. So
I
in
know
retrospect.
we always say ibuprofen so lightheartedly, like, oh, it's not a big deal. And it's like,
It kind of
kind of
is.
is. Well, so you've been in clinic now. Tell me about your experience there.
So far it's been great. No one has bitten me.
That's good.
Yeah, it's been really great. I'm really excited to start my clinic rotations this summer. And I have my first rotation coming up in a couple of weeks where I'm going to be working with complete strangers in a community health center.
Oh.
But I'm excited because I feel like I'm going to learn a lot from this experience and gain knowledge that's going to help me out in the long run.
Nice. So right now are you working on classmates, like working on each other? Is that how it's working for you?
For the first 2 quarters, it was just me and a student partner. And then in our spring quarter is when we started to bring in other people.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like non-student patients, basically.
Non-student patients, exactly.
Okay. Nice. So how comfortable do you feel, you know, scraping calculus off a tooth?
On a scale of 1 to 10, maybe like a 7.
Okay, that's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, because
I
I
kind of
know I still have a long way to go, but I feel like I kind of know what I'm doing.
Good. I kind of felt like when we with my class when we first started seeing patients, we all had the feeling of like, why are we allowed to do this? Because I feel like we haven't learned everything we're supposed to for an appointment, and we're kind of learning it alongside seeing patients. And so it's like we learn something in class, we do like a competency on a typodont, and then the next day we're working on an actual patient doing the same thing, and I'm like, I don't think this is what we're supposed to, like, this is not how this is supposed to work. But the thing is, I feel like it makes us learn really fast because it's like, you know, you have to.
We did competencies on the dentiforms or typodonts before we practiced on our student partner, and we went over the same things every single week in clinic, going over the same steps and kind of like drilling it into our minds and building that little routine of, okay, take vitals, take health history, and then right away start doing a head and neck exam or like the oral screening, oral cancer screening. And slowly but surely, you just build that routine. And once we started having real patients, it became a lot easier.
Nice. Now, before you got into dental hygiene, did you know that dental hygienists do head and neck exams?
No.
I didn't know that either. And I was like, why are we learning this?
Like I thought it was just the doctor that did that,
Great.
but I think it's really cool. When I have patients in my chair, like they think that they're just gonna come in for me to look at their teeth. But I get to explain to them that it's more than just your teeth. We're taking a look basically at your overall health. And, this is the head and neck is kind of like our area of expertise in a way that we know that everything is connected. And so if you have swollen lymph nodes, maybe you have something else systemic going on, or some people have manifestations of cancer in their mouth and they don't even know that.
Now, you're preparing to find patients and all that for clinic. Do you have any tips on like what you've done to make that happen, or do you talk to people, or how do you do that?
Well, this last quarter, I really relied on my friends and family, and I'm very grateful to them for being able to support me in that, because some of them have to drive an hour and a half to get to my school, especially for an 8:30 a.m. Appointment. Driving, it's like plus all the traffic, it's like maybe 2 hours. So I am very appreciative for everything that they've done in that aspect. And inevitably, you'll have patients scheduled and they're going to fall through. So that is something I have experienced. And so what I did was I just scoured the hallways of my school, looking for patients among schoolmates and other programs. And I'm really grateful to the automotive program because it's right down the hall from the clinic,
Oh,
and
nice.
they've really helped me out with patients there.
Yeah, so that's kind of one thing I've done well for me at my school. We had the it was like X-ray tech program. I think that's what it was. I'm not really sure. But anyway, so I was talking with their instructors, and then the instructor that taught my class anatomy and physiology. Like she's in the, I think she's in the physical therapy program or something like, or physical therapy assistant, something like that. And so we contacted her students and, hey, you should really do this. And, because you're a student, it's like half off for us. And so, yeah, for my class, we actually used Instagram ads, and that was actually pretty helpful. We found a few people. And it's really not that expensive, doing it that way. But of course, I had the same thing too, where I had a few people where they came from far. And I remember their one patient, I had their last appointment, and it was like, it's today or never. And I'm like, well, they've been excellent about going for their appointments. I'm not worried about it. And they texted me, I think 2 days before, and they said, I'm not going to make it. My car's not working. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need that patient. And I was like, I'll drive you. I'll pick you up. I'll drive you. And she was like, oh, okay. Yeah. And I was like, okay, cool. And so I was going to ask you this too. So if you don't have a patient, are there any consequences to that?
So at my school, if you don't have a patient in your chair, the first time that happens, you get a free pass. But you always try to have someone in your chair, have someone to call for, like basically calling in for backup. But yeah, you take a pretty big hit after that second no-show. And so, if let's say I had scheduled someone for a new patient exam, then I'm gonna try and fill my schedule with PSR, the screening patients. And that's the way I advertised it to my schoolmates was like, it's just like a 45-minute appointment. You just get a lay back, relax, and I'll do my work. It's not gonna hurt. I feel like I'm a pretty gentle clinician, and I haven't had any patients say otherwise. So I tried so hard to convince people to come and sit in my chair. It's just 45 minutes.
That's good. I like that. I'll have to use that one when I get to that point. How now, I assume in clinic you have to do competencies, at least that's what we call it. We call it that. Yeah. So when you're, for those of you listening, basically you're proving you can do a skill. And so either you're doing an observation where the instructor can interject and kind of give you some notes during what you're being tested on, or a competency, they can't tell you anything at all until it's done. So hopefully you figure it out. But I found that to be so nerve-wracking. Like I would be so confident in a skill, and then the moment they're literally over my shoulder, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm doing this wrong. And you know, like everything's going through my mind.
At my school, what they have us do is we have a stand and we bring our Tepidant home and we have a unsterilized cassette here and we have to record videos of us practicing the Explorer, the perioprobe. Most recently we've been doing the different scalars in our kit, and then this quarter we're going to start Gracies. So we have to record ourselves and show, how we're moving our instrument, pivoting, and making sure we're using our fulcrum and all, and kind of giving all those details. But you're also having to talk through the video, like, so I'm going to be sitting in this position. I'll have my patient in that position, and I'll be using my mirror to pull away the cheek or to push back the tongue for indirect vision, transillumination, whatever it is. So I find that helpful. It is kind of tedious and repetitive, but I think it's really helpful.
Yeah, it sounds helpful.
And then we have like a mentor, which is one of the professors or adjunct professors that watch our videos, and they give us some pointers. And so it's helpful.
You know, it's, you said it's tedious, but I feel like for me, if I were to do that, that would really help me learn my skills. So yeah, so you're done year one now. Looking back on this past year, what would you do differently?
I'm pretty happy with the decisions I made and the way I took on the first year. The only thing that I would probably do differently is making sure I'm using my time wisely. I did struggle to stay focused sometimes, and I would reward myself from studying with a little break, and then I'd find myself scrolling on Instagram or TikTok for a while. But I recently deleted it, TikTok especially, off my phone because it's addicting. But other than that, I would keep everything the same.
Okay, that's good advice. Well, I guess that's good. Because my next question, advice do you have for anyone who's about to enter hygiene school or anyone who's in hygiene school? What do you have to say to them?
The advice that I kind of follow is there's an ancient proverb that says that there is a time for everything. So that means that there is a time to be, there's a time to be studying, there's a time to rest, there's a time to be social. So it's really all about balance. I remember some of my senior classmates, they've already graduated, but at the very beginning of my first year, they told us, say goodbye to your family, say goodbye to your friends. You're not going to see them for a while, you're not going to be able to hang out. But I found it kind of unreasonable. And I know that if I'm balanced, I'll get everything that I need done and still have time to play. So I made the time to study and made the time to do recreational things. So I think that's my advice to the listeners.
That's really great. I like that.
Whether you're getting prepared to go into hygiene school, still taking your prereqs, or you've already gotten into the school or you're in the program, it's important to stay balanced. And it is just as important to study and understand the material, and it's equally important to rest your mind and body.
I agree with that. I feel like for me, I tried to do kind of the same thing where I would at least maybe not every week, but here and there I'd still hang out with friends and family, just because for my mental health I needed to do something outside of the dental world, not related to it at all. So just for my own sanity, really. Well, I just have one question left here, but I thought we would end on a positive note. What has been the best part about hygiene school?
It's a tough question because there's lots of positives that have come from this experience. But I think that the friends that you make in your cohort are such a great part of this, because they are people that you can rely on to help you understand something, because maybe they can explain it to you in a different way that makes more sense than what the professor said. Or a lot in my cohort, they've become really close and they can rely on each other for other things other than school. And yeah, I just, we're all in the same boat. It's a very competitive program to get into, but it's no longer a competition once you're in the program, because once you're in the program, you're on the same team and you're there to help each other get through, get all your competencies and all everything you need, because you want to make it to the end together and want to see each other succeed, and you get to make friends along the way.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I kind of felt like with me, my class, we're very close. And yeah, like we would, if we were like stuck on a question, we have a chat group that we're a part of, and we just send out like, hey, can someone, not even, they don't even have to give me the answer, just explain this to me so I understand it. And inevitably someone would be like, oh, here, I got you, and they explain it. And it's just like, this is what going through this kind of program should be like, is people working together. Because like you said, we're already in the program. There's no need to be competitive anymore. And I don't feel like anyone in my class is competitive at all. So we're just there to work together. Well, Audrey, I want to thank you so much for meeting with me again and talking more about your dental hygiene experience. And I don't know, maybe before you graduate, I know just before you graduate, you're going to be quite busy, but maybe we'll get one more interview in just at the end of the program just to see what the second half of the or the second year was like. So, but
You
yeah,
got it.
awesome. Well, we'll hear from you again and thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, we'll cut there. So I feel like that went really well.
Me too.
Awesome.
It's
All
a
right.
little bit longer than the other one.
I know. Well, I think at the beginning, because my mind was like, they shouldn't be longer than 10 minutes, but that was before I was doing interviews with other people. So it's just kind of like me solo. And so it's just like more like just to let people know where I'm at, but they don't need to commit to a whole episode. But now I'm like when I interview people, like I don't want to cut people off all the time and be like, oh, we ran out of time, So I'm like, let's just see where it goes. Cause I'm like, it's, I'm not like an entrepreneur and all that stuff. So it's like, we'll just let the wind blow where it goes. Nice. Well, yeah, thank you so much for doing this and continue to have good things happen for you in the hygiene program.
Thank you. Thank you. And, I'll wait for you to get back into your program and
Yeah.
see you make it to the end as well.
Oh yeah, I'm fully committed to making that happen. It's just like a detour right now. And did I tell you that I'm working in an endo office?
Yeah, I heard. Yeah, you
Yeah.
told me.
Oh, I did. Okay. Yeah, so I'm really happy to be there. Again, a lot of work, so it's like I'm definitely using my mind. I won't be bored at all. I did my first assisting on a procedure on Thursday. And like I'm sitting in the chair and all of a sudden I'm like, I haven't assisted in over a year. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope this goes okay. But everyone's like, oh, you're doing great. Like, you know, and so I'm like, oh, thank you. Like, everyone's super
Yeah.
positive.
It eventually comes back. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it for me, it's more like, because I didn't do a whole lot of endo, so it's like I have to learn a lot of new things. Like, of course, the basics of hygiene, I've got that, but, or gosh, hygiene. Assisting, I've got that. But yeah, it's just learning, and then you have to, there's two doctors, so I have to learn their
Their
preferences on
routine,
things.
yeah.
Exactly. So, but you know, it's super great. I'm happy to be there. And they know that I'm potentially February, I could be going part-time. So they're aware of my where I'm at, and they're totally fine with that.
That's good, that's good.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all I've got.
All right. When does the episode come out?
I was thinking I'm gonna try and do it in 2 weeks. I think it's like the 21st, because I want to do another episode before this one, where I kind of be like, "Hey, where have I been for the past, you know?" Because I haven't done an episode since the beginning of second semester, and I just got too busy, and I was like, I don't have the capacity to do this and school. So I was like, you know, and then I was like, not really, I wasn't really doing anything with it. And I'm like, I don't think anyone's really listening anyway. And then a few weeks ago, maybe it's been like a month ago now, this guy contacted me on Instagram, and he's like, hey, I've been listening to your podcast. Do you have more episodes coming out? And I was like, oh no, you know, like school was too busy. I didn't, I just stopped doing it. And they're like, oh yeah, that's kind of what I figured. And then a couple weeks ago on Instagram, like on one of my posts, someone commented, and she's like, sir, we need more episodes. And I'm like, people actually care? And I'm like, so I'm like, I think I need to get back on the wagon. And because I'm not in school right now, I'm like, this is probably the perfect time. So I want to do like an episode where I kind of talk about semester two, and then maybe I'll do the interview for this one, and then I'll do another one talking about semester three. And then my other episode will be like, so here's what happened at the end of semester three, and this is where I'm at in life. So it's kind of leading to that, but yeah, I'm trying to figure out like how to put that all together. So, but this is where I'm at. So
Well, I'm excited to hear these
yeah.
episodes too, because I was listening to it and I was like, give me
Oh,
more episodes.
I know.
But I understand. School
Yeah.
gets so busy.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thank you.
All right.
All right, I'll talk to you later. I'll send you the episode when it airs.
Okay, cool. Sounds
All right,
good.
you take
I think I'm
care.
already following on
Oh.
Spotify,
Oh, yeah, so
so
it'll
I
just
should get
show
a
up then. I'll
notification.
just send you a text and be like, it's today.
Okay, sounds good. I'll
All right,
share it
you
on my
take care.
story.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
All right, see ya.
Okay,
Bye.
bye. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to my podcast. I appreciate your support on this journey, and until next time, I am Dax Scott.